What is up? We are back. Week six preview. Week six, not great. Not great to say the least. The slate, I think we were definitely spoiled last week, but still some good games this week. We will go over those games and our games of the week as well as our picks. But to start off, it's our new weekly segment presented by Chase Bank, where I imagine all these coaches are depositing these buyout checks. Another firing. Sam Pittman let go at Arkansas on Sunday. I actually predicted that on Sunday's podcast. I said it would not shock me if in 24 hours he was fired. I think he was fired within 2 hours. Sam lasted a lot longer than I thought he would at Arkansas. I remember when they hired him, and it never was like it never jumped off the page as like this wow hire. When you look at Ole Miss, had just hired Lane Kiffin. Mississippi State had just hired Mike Leach. Missouri, I think, had hired Drinkwitz at that point. So it's like, you get three people get established head coaches, and Arkansas goes and gets a coach who never even been a coordinator. It did not seem like it would work. And look, to Sam's credit, I think it worked there for a while. He had really good coordinators with Kendall Briles and Barry Odom. What they were able to do and their knowledge helped Sam just be the head coach. I think in these last few years, I think he's had to take a more active role and stuff. And that was never going to suit him. He's an offensive line coach. At the end of the day, he's an offensive line coach. And it's kind of one of those you don't know what you don't know things. And he had never been a coordinator. He didn't know what to do in those situations. And his coordinator hires just weren't very good. They just weren't. I mean, and I don't know that so much a knock on Sam, because look, at the end of the day, he got really lucky with those two coordinators. He really did. And just never was re able to or never able to recapture that magic again. It was Dan Enos in that 2023 year where they just were not good. 2022, of course, he has Kendall. 2023, he gets Enos, and then he goes to Bobby, and then Travis Williams. Just a lot of people thought he probably kept Travis far too long. Travis had a decent defense, though, in 2023. Not so, definitely not this year, and didn't have a great defense last year. I don't really know how the Pittman tenure will be remembered at Arkansas. There were some definite highs. It was kind of right there in the middle, though. I think he was almost 500 for his career, so it's just kind of right there in the middle. But we had the high of 2021, where I think he wins 9 games and is in the game with Alabama, an Alabama team who, by the way, plays in the national championship. He's in the game late with them in Tuscaloosa, but never really were able to ca or able to recapture that magic again that they captured that year. Just didn't work out. That job's going to be interesting. All the noise out here in Dallas for about the last 2 months has been that Rhett Lashley was candidate number one. Because look, a lot of people thought Sam would either be fired or he'd retire at the end of the year. I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to be coaching next year. And so, that comes to fruition, and the talk was warranted. So the name that I've consistently heard is Rhett Lashley. He's former Arkansas GA. I think he even played at Arkansas, but I know he was a GA with Malzahn, played for Malzahn. And it's the Arkansas guy coming back. I think he's candidate one. I don't think they move until they hear from him. I think at that point, I think it starts going down a list of, okay, do you look at a GJ Kinney? Do you look at an Eric Morris? Alex Galesh. I think if they, I don't know that they have the commitment right now to go get a guy like Eli Drinkwitz. Because, I mean, Eli wanted the job last time. He wanted it in 2020, and they went with Pittman. I still don't understand that decision, but that's what they did. I don't know that they have the buy-in right now because look, that this isn't an opinion. It is a stated fact from the athletic director. They don't have the buy-in right now to compete at the highest levels in the SEC. I mean, was it good to hear an AD be honest? Yeah, but it didn't make your fan base feel really good. I mean, Hunter Yurecek is on the hot seat right now, honestly. And that's another X factor in this whole thing is what if Yurecek leaves in November before a coach is hired? Then what do you do? Then you got to hire an AD and a coach? Or are you letting the president of the university hire a coach? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting situation to watch at Arkansas. If you had to ask me to handicap it right now, though, I would probably say Lashley's going to end up getting that job. I don't know. Then the X factor, or the not X, the wild card that everybody's talking about, Jon Gruden. If I am an Arkansas fan, that's worse than just giving Bobby Petrino the reins. As a fan of any other school in the SEC, do it. Please do it. Do it. Do it. Please. Because you are a guaranteed win. We are literally watching this same thing happen with a less successful coach at North Carolina. Less successful, my bad. More successful coach. And the results are terrible. They're terrible. But yeah, I mean, go hire Gruden if that's what you want to do. Be realistic. In what world does this work out if you're Arkansas? I mean, I'm a Mississippi State fan, so if you want to go do it, hey, absolutely. Full steam ahead, baby. Go jump on the Gruden bus. I think it's a absolutely terrible idea, though, if you're an Arkansas fan. Absolutely terrible. I mean, what are the qualifications? He coached in the NFL and he was a decent coach and won a Super Bowl with an incredible defense 23 years ago. I mean, is that what it takes to be, I mean, is that what it takes to be a successful college coach right now? Because it's sure not working at North Carolina. I think that would fail miserably. But if that's what you want to do, go do it. It's going to be wildly interesting to watch. I will say that because trust me, there are some Arkansas people who will go hire him. There's one about 15 miles from me right now that would probably go do it. Yes, that is Jerry Jones. I think Jerry would do it. I think Jerry would cut that check to go hire Jon Gruden. Absolutely. He's stupid enough to do it. He was stupid enough to hire Chad Morris too. So let's don't say that he's not stupid enough to do it. But that's it for this week's segment of Who Was Fired. Next week, join us for probably Billy Napier. Moving on though, going to talk about the games of the week that we're looking at. As I said earlier to start the show, not a great slate, but we do have some interesting games. I think you start with a game. I don't think anybody 10 years ago, if you would have said this is college game day, game of the week, like this is it. Vandy, Alabama. And I'm going to get this out of the way right now. What Clark Lea has done at Vanderbilt is absolutely incredible. It's in my opinion better than what James Franklin did, and even more impressive in this era of having to deal with the portal, deal with NIL at a school that really doesn't care about football. He made a great hire with Jerry Kill, who brought some of his best New Mexico State players with him. And look, those players are exceeding expectations. There is no doubt. If I'm Arkansas, that's who I look at to be my head coach is Clark Lea because I see that he can go hire assistants and delegate and just be the head coach or maybe even focus on the defense. And look, Diego Pavia is a hell of a player. He is a hell of an athlete. He runs their offense perfectly, absolutely perfectly. Okay, glad I got that out of the way. Alabama's going to win this game by 3 touchdowns. This isn't last year. They're not going to be caught sleepwalking coming off the Georgia win. This is in Tuscaloosa. Vanderbilt did not play well in hostile environments last year. Go look at the game at LSU. They didn't play well. I'm just telling you, Alabama's winning this big. Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard are going, Isaiah Horton, they're going to go off. Ty Simpson is going to be able to do their thing on offense. They got Jam Miller back there. I'm just telling you, I don't think this is close. I really don't. I think it's 35-13, 35-17, maybe a late touchdown makes it kind of interesting for Van, makes it almost a cover for Vanderbilt. But I mean, the line being 10 and a half on this one. And I'll go ahead and I'll tease my pick on that one. But Bama's winning this big. They're winning this big. You know, Bama got caught sleepwalking last year. And it happened. It happened more than once because it happened against Oklahoma later in the year. But this isn't Vandy of last year. They're not sneaking up on anybody. This is college game day. This is what college football thinks is the biggest game of the weekend. I don't necessarily know that it is. I think Miami, Florida State, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is bigger. But regardless, it's a big game. Like, I mean, in my lifetime, I never thought I'd say Vanderbilt, anybody was a big game. But, or unless you were talking like Mississippi State needed to win, like to get to 6 wins and we needed to beat Vandy to do it. Yeah, huge game. But Vandy against just whatever opponent. No, I never thought I'd see that day. If Vandy wins this, hey, kudos. Clark Lee's for real. Like they've shocked me. It would be a bigger shock to me if they won this year than winning last year. Because winning last year, you caught Alabama off the emotional high of Georgia, you know, it's sleepy Nashville. Your fans are going to take over the stadium. Like, you're going to win this. You're going to sleepwalk and win this. And they sleptwalk and didn't win it. This year, Vandy has Alabama's full attention. They have the eyes of the country watching because last year, I think that game was like on the SEC network or something. Vandy wins on Saturday. I'm not going to sit here and lie. If Vandy wins on Saturday, I think they may make the playoffs. Because you look at who they have left. They got LSU at home. LSU struggling big time right now. They get Missouri at home. Again, home game. They go to Texas, Auburn at home, Kentucky at home, at Tennessee. If they win Saturday, I don't see but one more guaranteed loss on that schedule. It says at Texas. I don't think they can win at Texas. The rest, Missouri will be tough. At Tennessee will be tough, but I don't see a tough game that I just sit there and say they can't win it. Except one. So if they win Saturday, I think 11-1's on the table. I think 10-2 is almost assured. I'll throw that out there. If they win, they're probably in the playoff. That's crazy to think about that. I just said Vandy might be in the playoffs. But I mean, look at their schedule though. Even if they lose, okay, so they lose. They're, what does that make them? That put them at what, 5-1? even at 5-1, you start looking, okay, LSU in 2 weeks. Well, you're facing a, you're at home and Garrett Nussmeier's not healthy. Could win that one. Missouri, that's going to be a huge game. But it's at home. And say what you want. Missouri will be coming off back-to-back weeks of Bama and at Auburn. Like, that's a tough schedule for them. Then they go to Texas. Then they have Auburn. Nobody knows what Auburn's going to be, what shape Auburn's going to be in by that point. Then they get Kentucky. That's a dub. Then they play at Tennessee. And I mean, I'll be honest, watching Tennessee last weekend against Mississippi State, what's the one thing Tennessee's kind of struggling with right now? The one thing Vandy does extremely well, run the ball. It's not hard to talk yourself into Vandy being competitive Saturday. It's not going to happen, but it's not hard to talk yourself into it. It will definitely be. I don't think I've ever watched a Vandy game intently, and I'll be watching that game intently on Saturday. Next game on the docket, Texas, Florida. I don't really know where to go with this one. My pick will be later. If you told me Florida wins this game 23-20, I could believe it. I could believe that. I could believe they found two touchdowns and three field goals. I think the two touchdowns are going to be able to set up, be have to be set up by Texas mistakes. But look, Texas has made those mistakes. And if you told me Texas comes in there and wins 38-7, I would believe that too. It's like I said, I don't know what to make of it. This feels like Billy Napier's last stand. I mean, you look at what they have coming down the pipe after this week, it's not very promising if you're Billy Napier. You go to A&M next weekend, you come home from Mississippi State after that, and then you get your second bye. I don't know. As a Mississippi State fan, selfishly, I want him to finish out till after Mississippi State and then fire him before Georgia. But if they get embarrassed tomorrow, I could see them cutting bait. I really could. Lagway has been three shades of bad. There's no way around it. Do I think he's healthy? No, I don't. But I don't know what Florida has behind him. Florida defensively is really good. Defensively, Florida is really good. I mean, you look at what they've done, and they've literally allowed, was that? And they've allowed 64 points this year total through four games. I mean, that's pretty good. That's 16. You're averagely giving up 16 a ball game, and you're 1-3 because your offense cannot score. That's what's so crazy, is that you're 1-3 because your offense can't score. You scored 55 against LIU week one, and you have 35 points total since. You're so bad offensively. If you could even be average offensively, they're probably 3-1 right now. Even average offensively, you're 3-1 right now. Because I think you obviously you beat USF, and I think you beat LSU. Average offensively. They can't even be that. On the other side for Texas, they're obviously going to get back Quintrevion Wisner. I think that's a huge, huge thing for Texas to be able to get him back. I I mean, Texas sits here at number 9 in the country, and it just feels really, really fraudy, to be honest with you. I mean, wins over San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston State. They lost to Ohio State and couldn't move the ball. Like I said, I could see a world where Florida gives them trouble. I really could. Because right now, Arch Manning does not look good. Now, he could come out and look like, prime Eli or prime Peyton tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's there. The talent's there. I think this is going to be an ugly game. I don't see this in a world where Texas comes in there and just blows the doors off of them. Not because I don't think Texas is better or has the ability, but I haven't seen it from Texas, and so that's why I don't think it'll happen. I don't know. I mean, it's so puzzling that Florida is so bad offensively. It makes no sense in the world. But we'll pick it later. Moving on. Mississippi State, Texas A&M. If Albert Reese was playing for Mississippi State, I would say Mississippi State wins this. I would. I think the way they have played, the way they are playing, and the way they've run the ball would give A&M all kinds of problems. Without seeing what they're going to do offensively, without him, I'm not comfortable saying Mississippi State wins this ball game. I'm not. If you told me it happened, I would say, okay, there's a definite world where Mississippi State wins this game. You look at A&M, they just have not been impressive. I mean, they scored a lot of points on Notre Dame, but they gave up a lot too. And realistically, they're the Notre Dame holder not botching a snap from overtime and probably losing in overtime. And they got bailed out on 4th and 12. They miss a holding call. You don't ever want to make excuses, but they did. There were multiple holding calls missed on that last drive that A&M wins the game on. And I'll be honest, I think you are looking completely differently at A&M if they lose that game. I don't think they're that much better of a team because they won that game or they didn't. But the narrative on them would be so much different had they lost that ball game. Saying that, A&M's good. Defensively, they are on the defensive line, they are very, very good. They can generate a pass rush. I think what Mississippi State's going to have to do is they're gonna have to find a way to establish the run. They just are. There's no way around that. They are going to have to find a way to establish the run game. I don't know how they're gonna do it because I don't know what they're gonna line up at. I don't know if it's kick Jimothy Lewis to right tackle and move Javen James to left tackle, or it's kick some, or keep Jimothy at left and move like a Luke Work out there to right tackle. I have no clue what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting to watch. Obviously, A&M has two dynamic receivers in Casey Concepcion and the Mississippi State transfer Mario Craver. Mississippi State's going to have their hands full keeping Craver, contained. Auburn did a really good job of it last week, and I think Mississippi State needs to watch that and say, this is how we got to do it. I think the keys for Mississippi State are this. Do not let A&M become balanced. If you can make them one-dimensional, I think you have a shot. And I think number two is force them into third downs. They are awful on third downs this year. They're 113th in the country in third down efficiency. And I think they were 3 of 14 last week. So that's the thing. And number three for Mississippi State, play a clean game. A&M is a highly penalized team, but so is Mississippi State. So you have to play clean. For A&M, I think it's be balanced. I think it's get get your yardage out of Le'Veon Moss and let Marcell Reed and the offense run it, run the way they want to run it, and not become one dimensional. I think too for A&M is play clean. I think it's the same thing as Mississippi State. Mississippi State's highly penalized. You got to play clean though. And I think three is limit the explosive plays from Mississippi State because you know that's what they want to go to. I'll pick it later. I'm not picking Mississippi State outright. I'll go ahead and tell you that. But we'll pick the game later. Last game we want to preview, Miami and Florida State. I would love to pick Florida State, but I watched their defense not be able to stop anything last week. Anything. And I'm not in my picks. I'm not picking the score or anything like, or the game itself. I am picking something else. I'll go ahead and tell. I'm picking the over, or I'm either picking the over or the under. I'll have to look. I'm picking the over at 54.5 because I don't think Florida State can stop Miami enough, and Florida State's offensively is really, really good. They are. I just don't think they can get enough stops. Miami, though, I think they're one of the most complete teams in the country. I really believe people are kind of sleeping on them almost just because they had that big win on like a Sunday night when everybody was kind of college footballed out. Then they beat Florida in an ugly game that a lot of people tuned out of. And I just think people are kind of just not down on them, but just almost overlooking them. I mean, I think Miami wins this. I think they win it comfortably. But if you told me it was a six, if it was a 6-7 point game, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think Miami loses it though. I just think offensively what they're going to be able to do. I mean, I think they're going to be able to do even more than what Virginia did. And I mean, Carson Beck's a much better quarterback than Chandler Morris. It's not a knock on Chandler Morris. I just think Carson Beck's a better quarterback, and I think he'll be able to really, really exploit that secondary of Florida State. Now it's time for our picks. I haven't gone back and looked at last week's. I think they were decent, though. I actually can go back and look at them now. Let's see. Last week we went. Well, it went 5-5, so we didn't do great, but didn't do bad. So struck even. This week, though, first pick, I don't understand this game. Maybe it's because Iowa State's secondary is decimated, and they are, but it's not like they're going into Morgantown or something. They're going to Cincinnati. They're going to Nippert Stadium. The line's now ballooned. It's now 2.5. So Iowa State plus 2.5 all day long. Also, Iowa State money line plus 105. Next game, Texas at Florida. I got Texas minus 5.5. I think Texas wins this. It's like I said, if you told me it was 23-20 Florida, I'd believe you. I think it's going to be something like 27-10 or 21-10, but I think Texas wins this. Like I said earlier, Bama by 3 touchdowns. Bama minus 10.5 is just a hammer. I just, they're not going to be caught sleepwalking this year. They're just not. Biggest upset of the week I have. I don't think they win it, but I think they keep it close. Houston's playing really well right now. Yeah, they had the weird one at Oregon State, but I mean, they were playing at 9:30 at night in Corvallis. It's a tough place to play. USC always used to have problems there. Houston plus 11.5 versus Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech's really good. I do. But I think Houston's improved a lot, and I think Willie Fritz will have his team ready to play. I think Houston covers. I don't think they win, but I think Houston covers that plus 11.5. As I said earlier, Miami, Florida State over 54.5. I don't think Florida State will be able to stop Miami, and I think Florida State has a good enough offense in their own right to hit that pretty easily. Late game out in Cal. I got Cal minus 2.5 versus Duke. Although I think that line is incorrect. I think it's actually Duke minus 2.5. So I think Cal wins the game outright. But let me make sure on that I have that line correct, because I think it's actually Cal. Yeah, it's actually Cal plus 2.5. So I got Cal plus 2.5 in that one. Illinois minus 8.5 at Purdue. I'm back on my bandwagon with the Illini. Big win over USC last week. So I got the Illini at Purdue. Purdue can't stop anybody defensively. Clemson, North Carolina. I'd love to tell you to take Clemson here minus 14.5, but Clemson's just in a real like show it to me mode right now. I gotta see them do it against somebody. I do know though, their defense is not great, and North Carolina's just garbage. So I got the over there, only 46.5. I think they hit it easily. Virginia at Louisville. Louisville getting 6.5, or Virginia getting 6.5. I think it's too much. I think Virginia either keeps this really close or just wins it outright. I think I actually have them winning it outright. I was really impressed with Virginia last Friday night. I thought what they did, what they were able to do offensively. Love Chandler Morris, love the running back. I'm really, really high on Tony Elliott's team right now. I think they get it done. And then the last one, Mississippi State at Texas A&M. This line is now ballooned up to 16.5. This game's going to be a close game one way or the other. I think it's a 7 to 14 point game. I think Mississippi State win. I think Mississippi State easily covers. I'm a Mississippi State fan, so I think there's a way for us to win, but I would not pick us to win. I will pick us to cover those 16.5. Our parlay of the week, our underdog money line parlay, is going to be three games. It is going to be the Iowa State game, Iowa State Cincinnati, Iowa State plus 105. Then we move on to Virginia and Louisville. Virginia is plus 210 in that one. And then our money line whale of the week, ULM plus 300 on the road at Northwestern. Give me the Warhawks right there. That it's a plus 2442 parlay total. I think all those teams win. I'm really, really high on this UL Monroe team in the G5. I think they got a shot to do some damage in the Sun Belt. Really, really like that team. Really like that team right now. And I think they go on the road and get a huge win at Northwestern. They are also a 10.5 point underdog. If you're looking for one, take that one plus 10.5. That is just a lock. They'll keep that game close. That's going to do it for today's show. We will be back hopefully Sunday. Could be talking about another firing. We will definitely be talking about one next week on the show. But like I say every week, everybody, enjoy it. We're now in week six. We're already in October. Like, we've only really got one more full month of college football. Enjoy this. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Act irrational. Throw your hat. Cuss at the TV. Do whatever. You only get a finite amount of time to do this. Have fun with it. Be in a good mood, though, because college football's on from 11 a.m. to after midnight. Everybody have a great week. Enjoy college football.